Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. I can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I've got a great guest for us today. His name is Jim Kendall, and actually, Jim and I used to work many eons ago, back when I owned my recording studio, and he would come in with some of his cohorts and do radio commercials and things for different clients. And Jim is now a marketing expert, but also he writes at a local paper, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So, Jim, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, and let's not tell people how long we've known each other.
No. We'll let that one slide under the radar because, we don't want to date ourselves.
Right.
And, even though online dating is a big thing, we don't want to date ourselves. That's a whole nother topic. We're not going to go there. So, but Jim, let's kind of talk about a little bit of the past. I mean, when you were working with me back at the studio, you were doing a lot of marketing for banks and other things. And what was your journey? How did you go from doing that kind of stuff to where you are today?
Well, I got to doing that kind of stuff, which is basically marketing, and it was a lot of bank marketing, after college. I have a journalism degree. Writing is what I do. It's what I like because it makes me and the people I work with think and plan and strategize about what everybody wants to do. It's a fairly simple process. The thing that bothers me a little bit today is that a lot of smaller businesses, and like you, I have a small business. I like small businesses. They're easy to get things done. It's not a 40-member committee that has to okay anything. But a lot of small businesses tend to ignore newspapers. Yet there's still part of the marketing that should be PR oriented, and even though newspapers are struggling, they can be a source.
True. So how did you get into writing for the Daily Herald? For those people who don't know, the Chicagoland area is kind of a western suburban paper. There's still a handful of them left, but like any other paper, I mean, the Chicago Tribune used to come every Sunday and it was like carrying in a brick, and now it's like carrying in a feather. How did you go into starting to write for them a while back?
I've read the Daily Herald for a long while, and I think they do, for a suburban paper, an excellent job of covering local news. I thought they always have. What I thought they were missing was a small business column, and by cracky, I thought maybe that was my role. So I started talking to them. It took me a year of talking to convince them that I was right and that, in fact, they should hire me to cover small businesses. That's what we've got in the suburbs, basically small businesses. They are fascinating businesses run by fascinating people. I couldn't tell you how long I've been doing this, but the column I'm working on, I number them, is number 683. So it's been a while now.
Wow. And that's in weeks. So that's a good chunk of time. So let's talk about, press in general. I mean, obviously, the whole world of media has changed. I mean, obviously, online media is the thing. And the reason it is because it's much more immediate. So, for example, years ago when I got the paper, when I opened up the paper in the morning, it was yesterday's news, and everybody wants to know what's happening now. So what kind of role does a small business column play in the business community? Even though it's not really kind of like that, breaking news type stuff. It's usually more informational, right?
It's more informational, and my purpose, as I explained to them, and what I still do now all these years later, is my goal is to share information in the small business community. There are a lot of small business owners and owners of mid-sized businesses, too, who have been very successful. There are others who have had problems and overcome them. My theory is if we share those stories, share those experiences, somebody will read the column and say, hey, that's me. I've been looking to solve that problem. Here's how the other guy did it. Maybe it'll work for me. It's a sharing of information.
So, okay, there's obviously a lot of small businesses around. Most of them aren't paying attention to that. They're all on Facebook playing in that sandbox. Why would somebody want to come to you and get your attention? Because that's obviously what they have to do. If you don't know they exist, you certainly are not going to write about them. Why would somebody come to you and get your attention? And then what would be the benefit to them doing so?
Well, the benefit to them of being in the newspaper or in any other media for that example, for that matter, but their benefit is business development. Once they're in print, the idea is for you, for example, or anybody else who's in print, you've got to take over and you've got to merchandise that column. You have to tell your email list, your LinkedIn contacts, everybody you know, that, hey, the Daily Herald quoted me in a column. You ought to read that. Here's how you find it. Because people don't read the newspaper. They have to be guided to the newspaper. And particularly since you or anybody else that I interview has ultimately something they need to sell, they've got to take the responsibility for getting people there. So you're in the column, it's Monday online, and you've got to then send to your list, send to your email list, post on Facebook, send to your LinkedIn contacts the fact that the Daily Herald quoted me on X, Y, and Z subject. You might want to read it. Here's how you find it. What you're picking up as a business person is, frankly, in a marketing sense, a third-party endorsement. Somebody saying, this guy must be smart. I'm going to interview him. And that endorsement, in quote marks, carries over and should become part of your marketing effort.
Which totally makes sense. So, you know, in the world of online marketing lately, I see a lot of small businesses, especially services businesses, home-based businesses.
Yeah.
They're trying to go for these best of the Fox or best of DuPage County awards that a lot of these newspapers give out. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between winning one of those awards and, say, getting a one paragraph quote inside a column that maybe you write about a specific topic?
Well, it's always nice to win an award. It's something you can brag about, and you go through the same process. You win an award as the best whatever in the western or northern suburbs, and you tell everybody about it, everybody you know. The difference between being in a column and winning an award is that somebody, me in this case, has thought that you're smart enough to be a source. And that carries a little different cachet. The process is the same. You have to tell everybody. You have to get them to read it. You go back to them a couple of times. But the process is the same. You get your name in a newspaper, and hopefully it's not in the police reports. You get your name in the paper. Somebody has thought you're smart. So you tell all your friends, all your customers, all your prospects, all your suppliers, everybody you know that, hey, I was in the newspaper. You ought to take a look at the article. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. So is there a way to turn that into additional influence? So, for example, I'm in the local paper. How do I get that to be something that maybe I could get somebody at the Chicago Tribune, or, you know, say you want to be on TV on WGN or maybe MSNBC or something like that on one of their business shows? I mean, is there a way to parlay that up the food chain?
Yeah, but it's really tough, particularly small businesses. MSNBC and the networks aren't going to give a hoot. Nine times out of 10, you're a local story, because your market is local, or that's normally the case. And what you have to do, either hire a PR person or do it yourself, you've got to find out who covers local businesses, get their name and phone number, and call them. Takes work. As I said before, it took me a year to convince the Daily Herald that I really knew what I was talking about. Hopefully, it's not going to take you a year, but you talk to people about your knowledge. You share that knowledge with a journalist or, in radio and TV, a news producer, and hopefully get on their list. Use a clipping. That helps. That shows that somebody else thought you were smart. And to a great extent, we are pack people. If Brian thought you were good, well, maybe you are. Maybe I'll follow up on something Brian has done.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's get back to that. Because I agree with you 110%. I mean, you know, when people are buying a PR person, they're not necessarily buying an opportunity. They're buying that person's connections, that person's relationships, and their ability to be able to speak to people at different business locations in the media. How do we sit down and say, okay, let's measure this in ROI? You know, when an average person gets themselves in the newspaper, that awareness is worth something. When, you know, how do we say that this is something that happens over time, it accumulates, or is it something that people should expect immediate gratitude from?
There's really no immediate gratitude unless, you know, there's a bang factor. Something has happened and you're the physicist who knows why that plant blew up, okay? More than likely, it's an accumulation of contacts and your knowledge, and you're reaching out to customers, prospects, and that kind of thing. It takes time. It takes time and effort. You can do it yourself. You can hire somebody to do it for you. There'll be a cost to the hiring. There'll be a cost in time if you try to do it yourself. So my thought would be sit down with a PR person or a marketing person, hash out what you've got, what that person thinks the prospects for some publicity are, and be honest about cost and effect.
Gotcha. So basically, you should look at PR as kind of an investment in a long-term game, is what you're saying.
It is. It's like advertising in that sense. It should cost you less, but it's a long-term continuing investment.
Gotcha. What are some of the things that people have done over the years that have gotten your attention that make you go, wow, I really need to talk to this person. I want to talk to this person, because let's face it. I mean, when it comes to the basics, you know, heating and air conditioning, lawyers, insurance salespeople, those kind of things. I hate to say this, no offense to anybody, but we're all a dime a dozen in whatever we do. How do people stand out as that expert that gets you your attention?
You know, it's interesting. Some people have actually gone to my website and emailed me and said, hey, I'm smart in this area. How do I get a hold of you? And, you know, that works. At least it's likely to get a response from me by either email or phone. And that's the first step. You and I, whoever you happens to be, we need to talk. I need to assess, are you really as smart as you think you are? Is your expertise something that will interest other small businesses? And we find that out with the conversation. So that's one way to do it. The other is to go to meetings, shake hands. I go to meetings. I go to seminars. It's a matter of finding people who know people. Maybe a friend of yours has been in a column. Contact that friend and say, how do I get a hold of Jim? Or anybody else who's writing a newspaper column or hosting a radio show these days. How did you get a hold of them? What do I do?
Exactly. And the whole reason that you are on my podcast is because you interviewed me to be in a newspaper column. And I said, hey, I want to talk about getting a newspaper columns for people who listen to the podcast. So it was kind of a win-win for everybody, I think.
The process works.
Yes, it does. So let me ask you one final question. Give me just some of your favorite stories of people who contacted you, sounded really, really great, and turned out to be just bad pitchmen.
Actually, being a bad pitchman doesn't mean that you don't know what you're talking about.
True.
I have been pretty lucky in that most of the people who have contacted me, ultimately, once we sit down, and maybe you're going to have to buy me a cup of coffee, okay? But once we talk, there's something there. There's something that you've got that other people will benefit from knowing. And it's up to you to be able to tell me, but it's up to me in that conversation to be able to, if I have to, drag out from you what your expertise is. And then it's my assessment. Is anybody going to care? Is what this person knows going to be something that will help another small business?
So ultimately what it boils down to is you're the gatekeeper. If somebody comes in and starts, you know, being overly pitchy, you get to choose whether A, you're going to use them at all, and B, can you get something of value out of them that's going to be overarching for your audience, right?
Exactly. It's my column. My name's on it. It's in the Daily Herald, but I work pretty independently, so it's pretty much my call. Does this person really know something? Is that an issue in the business community today? And if I think so, pretty good chance that there's something there.
Gotcha. All right, Jim. Hey, this has been a blast. It's been great to get you in front of my audience and get them to understand at least what it's like to approach a small business columnist on a local basis. And like I said, this could be a stepping stone to larger things. But the bottom line is any press, good or bad, but in most cases, all you do is very positive things. So I always appreciate that. So people wanted to get a hold of you. What's the best way for them to do that?
Best way is email jim@kendallcom.com. jim@kendallcom.com. I answer emails.
Good for you. And it's whatever it is, phone, email, and they can also check out your website at kendallcom.com, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for dropping some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. This has been great, and I absolutely love the opportunity to get you on my show, since I've been a numerous time guest on your column, and it's really helped me. It's definitely raised my stature in the community, and I will go through and I will put everything that you send me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Pinterest, Google+, anywhere I possibly can, to just get that image out there that, hey, this guy is quotable. He's in the news. He's something better than the average person. So
you know how to work the process, Brian, and it's not that difficult.
No. It just takes a little bit of systemization and a plan, and, you know, and then you can measure and see if it's getting you some kind of response. So once again, dude, it's been great. I really appreciate it. Good stuff. And thanks for taking the time to speak to my peeps.
Thanks for having me. We'll talk again.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.